You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ready for some shade, fellas? Kicking off Super Bowl week, Tom Brady and Gronk both praised Bill Belichick, giving their former coach credit for their past Super Bowl successes. But former Pats teammate Danny Amendola doesn't quite share those sentiments.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. None of those coaches made any tackles. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, Jeff Saturday. I don't know if you know this, and Tom Brady is not. Jeff, I'll get to you in a hot second. Stephen A., you're up first, though. Should we dismiss Amendola's comments about Brady Belichick in the Patriot way?
Absolutely. It should be utterly dismissed. And I like Danny Amendola. I've met him a couple of times, and I'm really very fond of him as a person as a player. But I think that this was incredibly insulting, very disrespectful, and dare I say, flat-out ignorant. I'm going to hand it to Max and Jeff by simply just throwing out a couple of numbers. And I understand, and I'm not leaning on – I don't normally lean on numbers like this, but I think it's incredibly important to point out. Danny Amendola started off his career in St. Louis. He had a 1-15 season. He had a 2-14 season, okay? Needless to say, they didn't win. He goes to New England. They go to 5 straight AFC championship games. Every year he was there. 3 times they won the Super Bowl. 2 times they ended up Super Bowl champions. Danny Amendola is a bright guy. He plays football. He knows football. Last time I checked, he knows they have special teams. He knows they have a defense. The New England Patriots was ranked as a top 10 defense every single year he was there. 3 times they were top 8. 2 times they were top 5. 1 time they were the number 1 defense in the National Football League. It wasn't just Tom Brady. And so you take that into consideration, and then you combine that with the fact that he departs and goes to Miami. It's a 7-9 season. Then he joins Matt Patricia, his former defensive coordinator with New England, who took over the job at Detroit. Their record in 2 years in Detroit was 3-12-1 and 5-11, if I remember correctly. Oh. That is an 8-23-1 record. How the hell are you going to just ignore Bill Belichick and bring up this year when they started off the season with 9 different damn dudes saying we ain't going to play because of COVID-19, which included Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower? How you going to do that? That's shade. Very, very flagrantly being thrown on Bill Belichick. And I think it's unfortunate that he would choose to do that because the facts do not support what he's saying. I think it was wrong for him to say that.
Well, I think we could take it with a grain of salt. Maybe he's salty at Belichick. But I can't just dismiss what a member of the team who was coached by Belichick and caught passes from Tom Brady has to say, because, guys, let's not lose the forest for the trees, nor take what Amendola said here too literally. You know, really what's going on? There were 2 camps. Look, we all know Brady and Belichick were great together, and they both deserve credit. Like, we don't need to repeat that constantly. But there were 2 camps, and this is the greatest sports debate of the 21st century. This and Jordan or LeBron, right? But this is unique to this century. Was it more Brady or was it more Belichick? People like me, I think most people, for the most part, thought, it's coach's league. It's more Belichick. And Belichick is a great coach and even did a good job this year going 7-9. Stephen A., as you pointed out, 9 players opted, including some defensive stars, not to play because of COVID. There were some serious injuries on the team, a brand new quarterback. They couldn't practice again, blah, 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 blah. 7-9. Pretty good job by Belichick. Brady's in the Super Bowl. Brady stacked the deck in his favor, didn't leave Belichick with a quarterback, put himself in a perfect position. That's true. He's in the Super Bowl. A lot of quarterbacks you could put in Brady's position, they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl. So what Amendola, so I take that as a small piece of evidence. It's not, it doesn't end the discussion or the debate. Let's see what Belichick does in the future. You know, but right now, Brady looks very good. Right at this moment, Brady looks better than Belichick. And if you're Camp Brady, which I think Amendola seems to be, so you could take it with a grain of salt. Come on, man. You're downing the coach. You're making the point that players play and coaches coach, so the coach doesn't tackle anyone. He doesn't have value. Come on, stop that, Danny Amendola. But I have to take – I can't just dismiss his view of who was more the Patriot way, especially since year one, there he is, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I'm not just going to dismiss it.
I could not agree more with Stephen A. and the comments he made about just being disrespectful in the way that you're going to talk about the most winning organization in NFL history. Like, think about the two decades that you're talking about. I'm pretty sure Belichick built those teams, right? So not only does he hire guys to come in and play, does he find the guys that fit his system? Does he help the coaches coach those players that said, stay up all night, watch all this film, and put them in the right position to make plays? Like, how about we go back and look at the Patriots defense that for the entire Tom Brady time in New England averaged 18 points a game. Like, the life, his entire career in New England, the Patriots defense averaged 18 points a game. That's insane how good that really is. So I think it's not only dismissive towards the coach, it's towards other players. All those guys. You don't think Teddy Bruschi doesn't define the Patriot way? Ted Johnson, right? I mean, Will Fork, Ty Law. Like, go through the list of guys on the defensive side and all, yeah, Ty Law, all that's going to be, you know, the Hall of Fame is going to be littered with those guys. And Richard Seymour, right? Like these guys all deserve. And what made them unique, Max, is that they all bought in to Belichick's way. So is Tom Brady responsible for those Super Bowls? Absolutely he is. But this has to be an and conversation. The minute you make it an or, you have dismissed both of them and the value and the role that they both played. And the role, by the way, is probably the most important part for both of those guys. Belichick didn't have to be a player, right? He got the right players in the right positions, and you know it's not a fluke because he did it year after year after year and gave them a chance. Did Brady come in and assume a leadership role like none other, drive this organization to new heights, do all those things? Absolutely. But when you just act, and the reason it's so insulting is he brought you in. He brought you in to help for those 5 years. And to Stephen A's point, on the other teams that were absolute trash, right? So you have never had a winning season outside. So if you're telling me it's all about players, why couldn't you win on any of those teams? Coaching does matter.
Well,
development of players and organization does matter. He got, yeah, understood, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks who don't have this type of legacy and length of productivity. That's the key. 20 years.
Here's the deal. This conversation is too good. Brady can become the first player to win a Super Bowl in three different decades. Marinate on that. Max, I know you want to respond. We'll bring Jeff back later, and we will pick this up because we certainly are not done with this debate. It's getting juicy.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But to the pros we go. LeBron and the Lakers picked up a win over the Hawks last night in Atlanta, but it was a courtside interaction that made news when a fan who was heckling LeBron along with three others were booted. Here's the King on what went down.
I'm happy Cantor's back in the building. I missed that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like it was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men. And then when someone else jumped into it and said their piece. And it kind of got blown out of proportion.
Stephen A., do you think the fans should have been ejected from the arena?
Based on what we saw on video and what LeBron James said, no, I don't believe that. I think that in this day and age, particularly with what the world is going through, and specifically here in America, in the sports world, to see fans heckling players and stuff like that is actually welcomed, to be honest with you. Now, there are limits. Russell Westbrook and various others can speak to that, because some things that are said are completely and utterly uncalled for. In my years of covering the NBA, I've seen many occasions where fans definitely crossed the line with some of their language and some of the things that they said. But other times when they're heckling you and bothering you, I don't think that it warrants ejection. I think going over to them and telling them to watch their language is about as far as it needs to go, because in most instances they know how to heckle you while minding their manners in terms of their language. And I think that they're definitely capable. I'll give you a personal experience, Max and Molly. I was at the Rams Kansas City games. Remember that Monday night game years ago when Kansas City lost to LA 54-51, that epic Monday night football game? Well, I'm in the suite for ESPN LA radio, and fans were screaming at me and stuff like that. And one of the guys was getting out of control and he was heckling me. And security went over to remove him. And I told security, no, leave him alone. It's okay. And I looked at the guy and I just said, just watch your language. Just watch your language and you good. And he actually thanked me for it. He still heckled me, but he heckled me in PC fashion, not rated R. And as a result, we all ended up having fun. I was messing with them. They were messing with me. And it's all in fun. And I think that's the kind of thing that LeBron is alluding to when he talks about how the fans shouldn't have been ejected. She seemed a bit acerbic when she jumped into the fray, whoever that person was, with the gentleman LeBron was arguing with. But I appreciate what LeBron is saying. You kind of miss that, and you want to see that, because the fans are an integral part of what makes the game special. And watching these games without them in attendance, even though I really appreciate the players playing and playing with the fervor that they're playing with, I really do miss the fans there. So I appreciate where LeBron came from on this, and I agree with his assessment.
Yeah, first let me say, LeBron can get down in the mud and wrestle and come out clean. Like, the way he handled this was just right. First of all, his tweet, courtside Karen was mad, all caps, is hilarious. And even the fact that he said she shouldn't have been ejected, he likes the interaction, the fact that he's going back and forth with them, it's all good. And she should not have been ejected, based on what I understand, except I have to say this. When you talk loud and a lot, that's how you spread COVID, right? Like, that's what, like, because it's really expectorant. It's the particles coming out of your mouth. I know it sounds disgusting or funny or whatever, but that's what the mask really does. The mask is not there to protect you. Your mask is there to protect me. My mask is there to protect you. And it looks like we're in the home stretch of this thing. The vaccine is coming out, but it's going to take some time. You don't want the thing to mutate. There's still high mortality or like people dying because there aren't enough hospital beds, stuff like that. So we still need to be careful. And if the mask is off her face and she's yelling, I don't know, Stephen A., if she was warned to put her mask back on and she didn't. But if she's yelling with her mask down, then I could see that being the basis of her removal. That has not been reported that they told her, hey, put your mask back on, and they didn't. But that's one way I could see, okay, I get it. She's got to go. Otherwise, it doesn't seem like just even cursing back and forth. It's not like there's a way that you can use language that you can't repeat, for example, on ESPN airwaves, that is still not over the line in terms of kind of common trash talking. And it seems like that was the case here. So if unless it was a mask issue, I don't think, based on what I know, she should have been removed.
All right. Courtside Karen, I'm dead. That was absolutely hilarious.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. In celebration of Black History Month, First Take is bringing you on an HBCU tour. Each Wednesday in February, we'll check in with a different school, starting this Wednesday at Stephen A.'s alma mater, Winston-Salem State University. Tune in all month right here on First Take as we recognize Black History Month. Meanwhile, in a press conference yesterday, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst reiterated the team's commitment to Aaron Rodgers, yet does not feel the need to reassure Rodgers of the fact because, as he said, his play speaks for itself. How much should Rodgers trust Packers management, Max?
Well, I don't think a whole lot. When you look at most of his career, Rodgers has been in a position where the Packers are among the Super Bowl favorites, the 5 or 6 or 8 teams that have the best odds to get to the Super Bowl or win it. And that's usually been because Aaron Rodgers is on the team. That's been most of his career, at least in the, you know, in the recent seasons under Mike McCarthy. Now that started to change a bit, right? They brought in a new head coach in LaFleur who went 13-3 and they won a playoff game his first year there, and Rodgers was just learning things. And this year you saw he was back to being his dynamic self, and they again won 13 games. And this time they got to the NFC Championship game, although in this offseason they drafted a backup quarterback, a guy in Jordan Love who's presumably going to one day take Aaron Rodgers' job. So what Rodgers should know about Packers management is they're far from incompetent. They're not the best organization in football, but they're a competent organization who looks at him simply as a commodity. I mean, we know that that's the case with most football teams and their even some of their icons. Brady is no longer a Patriot. Favre did not end his career with the Packers, and neither did Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. But it's very clear the message they've sent to Rodgers. They don't seem to consult with him in terms of what he wants. They don't seem to look at him as an icon that deserves a kind of extra level of respect as some other organizations do. And if I were Rodgers, the only thing I would trust is I have a competent but not one of the very best organizations around me. And as soon as I stop being useful to them, they're going to move on. He should know that, and I'm sure he does.
Let me pull a little max here, Molly, and allow me to get a little bit philosophical.
Say something brilliant.
Because I'm tired of regurgitating my same comment about the Green Bay Packers, how they lacked faith in Aaron Rodgers and what they did was disrespectful, in my estimation. Let me put it to you this way. Once upon a time, a couple of years ago, the player will remain nameless, but is a superstar in the NBA. And I got into a debate with him because what happened was he was very upset that, you know, we talked about him and we put such a level of responsibility on his shoulders. And he was fond of talking about it's a team game, it's a team game, blah, 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 blah. And what I said to him was, can I ask you a question? Sure. I said to him, Max, when you went to the negotiating table, was it about the team? Or was that about you? When you and your representatives went to the table, knowing that you warranted a max deal, did everybody on the team deserve a max deal? Doesn't the collective bargaining agreement with the NBA stipulate that players can make up to 30, if not 35% of the cap, depending on their years of service, combined with, you know, obviously the marketing, you know, their own marketability? Of course that's the case. So, yes, it's a team game. And, yes, the team determines the outcome. But there's a certain level of responsibility that somebody has, more so than others. That's what happens in the world of sports. If you don't like it, quit. And I say you can transfer the same kind of thinking to football, to compartmentalize and get specific about the Green Bay Packers. I understand you got all of these players around him, but Aaron Rodgers is this franchise. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that's earned over $200 million. Aaron Rodgers is the one that won a Super Bowl for you. Aaron Rodgers is the one that's had you in like four or five NFC conference title games. Aaron Rodgers has held the Green Bay Packers organization for years on his shoulders. Is Matt LaFleur an upgrade from Mike McCarthy? You're damn right he is. But the point is that doesn't take away from who Aaron Rodgers is and what he means to this organization and what he represents. And when you have that at your staple, you don't treat him like he's just another guy. You treat him like the cachet, the star power, the elite talent that he is. And on too many occasions, what we have is a situation where at their discretion, everyone wants to reel the star in and remind the star that you're just like everybody else when they want something from you, when they want to do something. But when they want something from you and they want to place that weight on your shoulders in a fashion they would never do to a multitude of players wearing the same uniform, then they don't talk about equality then. Then it's you until they want you to be just like everybody else. That is the problem. The Aaron Rodgers of the world and others should have. That is the problem Tom Brady had when he departed New England. I'm not just anybody else. I'm
Rodgers
Tom
deserves
Brady.
More respect.
I'm not just anybody else. And these guys want to pick and choose when they want to do that to players and when they don't. And that is what is egregious about all of this stuff that we're talking about with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers deserves better from them, period.
Well, we'll see if he takes his talents elsewhere. I know he's saying that he's not. But speaking of star power,
right.
Fellas,
yeah.
Niners tight end George Kittle's waiting for us. And I want to share a clip from you because he joined us back in March. We had a little fun talking about his quarterback with Stephen A. Take a listen. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G can play. He is not a scrub, okay? But my position is you think about four levels of people before you even get to Jimmy G, and that's rare when you look at a franchise quarterback. You think about y'all secondary. You think about your defensive line. You think about you, who I've got top two tight end in football with you and Travis Kelce. And last but not least, you think about the play calling of Kyle Shanahan. I'm not even saying that Jimmy G can't play. I would never disrespect a brother like that. What I am saying is when you are a franchise quarterback, you're usually thought of first. But in San Francisco, you think about all of those elements before you get to Jimmy G. That is my position. What do you say to that?
How is that his fault? It's not his fault. He's on a good team with really good football players
fault.
And a great head coach.
It's not
coach.
His fault.
Yeah. But he got us to the Super Bowl, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not his fault. He has Nick Bosa. He has a 5 first-round D lineman. He has Richard Sherman in the secondary. I mean, that's not his fault. He goes out there and he performs week in, week out. Like I said, leads the league in third down percentage. He makes throws. He won us 2 games versus Arizona. He won us the Rams game at the end of the game. He won a shootout with Drew Brees, who, in my opinion, is one of the best quarterbacks to do it. I mean, he shows up every single week. Yeah, hey, guys have bad plays. I've had my fair share of bad plays, and his are just viewed more because he's a quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, so people see that more.
All-Pro tight end George Kittle, there he is, back to have some more fun, joining us on behalf of Old Spice. Great to see you. And let me say, I love the smell of Old Spice, especially the deodorant. They should make some for women. George, I'll get to you in just a second about, there we go. Yes, about what exactly you're doing with Old Spice. But you know where I want to pick this conversation up. I realize this season was an anomaly for you guys, ravaged by injuries. You, your quarterback, I mean, it was incredible how many people were on the injury report week to week. But do you still feel confident? Because we've heard trade rumors, quarterback position, all that, that Jimmy G can lead you guys back to a Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm definitely still confident. You know, I'm the guy that practices with Jimmy every day. I work out with him in the offseason. You know, I've seen his talents. I've seen him on the football field. And I think he's an incredible quarterback. And I mean, he took us there once. I think he can do it again. And, you know, I'm not saying he did it all by himself. We need the rest of the team to play at a high level. But, you know, Jimmy's a guy that can, you know, deliver the ball, you know, when he needs to. And so we had the same argument we did a year ago. We can talk about it, you know, the exact same way. And, you know, my position has not changed. You know, Jimmy gets the ball to his guys, and when he has the opportunity, he plays at a high level.
Well, first of all, it's good to see you, my man. I hope that your foot is completely healed. You're one of my favorite players, so I wish you nothing but the best. You are right. Your position has changed, and neither has mine. Jimmy G is not a scrub. He can play. I never said he can't play, but I just look at the guys that you have alongside him. And again, it's no crime, and you know better than me. Shoot, you play football, and you practice with the man every day. I'll defer to you, and I'll look at the results and call it like I see it. Having said all of that, when you look at this team as presently constructed, assuming Jimmy G comes back, he's had the 2 high ankle sprains or whatever, we assume he's going to come back healthy. We assume you're going to come back healthy, Debo as well, along with others. Considering what you've seen transpire in the NFC with Tom Brady there now, we don't know what's going to happen in New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers probably staying in Green Bay, et cetera. What are your expectations? I'm not talking about your hope, but your expectations for you guys coming off this 6-10 injury-riddled season.
Oh, go to the playoffs, go to the Super Bowl and win it. Those are my expectations. I mean, I think the team that we have from, you know, our all-pro linebacker and Fred, no, I think we have still an incredible defensive line. We played an entire season without Nick Bosa, who, you know, in my opinion, is still, you know, second best player in the NFL. And we went an entire season without him. And I think our offense is only getting better. You know, a year under Ayuk's belt, our wide receiver core is getting better. You know, Debo gets another year. You know, and Jimmy G gets more year in Coach Shanahan's offense. I think our offense is taking steps forward. And, you know, this year is definitely tough for us with all the injuries. And it's hard to build, you know, momentum and, you know, put out a finished product out there because, you know, we had so many guys in and out of the huddle consistently all year. And, you know, I think as long as we could stay healthy, I think we're honestly still one of the teams to beat in the NFC. And, you know, you could see that in the NFC West, how every single team has either drafted defensive guys or brought in new quarterbacks, you know, to try to compete with the San Francisco 49ers. And we're just going to stay here. We're just going to continue to build and continue to get better every single day and, you know, continue to perform at a high level. And I just can't wait for the next season to start because I'm already itching to play football again.
George, before I ask you what I want to ask you, who's the best? If Nick Bosa is the second best player in the NFL, who's the best player in the NFL?
Aaron Donald. Yeah. I mean, until
that guy has not George Kittle. Okay, I just was checking.
I mean, until I have like 8 years in a row where I just physically dominate every single person I go against. Yeah, no, Aaron Donald's, I think, still the best player in the NFL.
Sure. No, Aaron Donald's amazing. My vote will go to Mahomes, but I respect it. I want to ask you this question because I don't know if there's anyone who's not on that team better positioned to answer it. I look at the Super Bowl right now, and I look at the injuries to Mahomes' starting tackles, and I look at what Tyreek Hill did to the Bucs when they first met. They're going to have to bracket him. They're going to have to pay more. They're not going to single cover Tyreek Hill. And I'm just thinking, if I'm the tight end who's one of the two best tight ends in the game in Travis Kelce, I'm thinking I'm going to have to help out and block a little bit, and I'm going to have to catch some passes. You know, what are you – you're not Travis Kelce, but you would know better than anyone. What would you be thinking in that position heading into this Super Bowl?
I mean, really, for Travis, in my opinion, he just has to keep doing what he's been doing. I mean, he's averaging like 100-plus yards a game into the last 10 weeks, it feels like. All he does is make huge plays. Then whether it's – and there was an important moment, too, like a third down or right there. It's like first and 15, and he takes it to the house. He's just going to continue to make plays. And, yeah, I mean, I think losing their left tackle, that's huge because he's a good football player. And but I really think Travis is going to do what he does, and he's just going out there. He's going to dominate. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to get some yak, and he's going to score some touchdowns. You know, and that's why he's had the year that he had, and that's why he breaks records. And he's an incredible football player. So I think he's just going to have to play his type of football, and he's going to be just fine.
George, what are you doing with Old Spice besides just trying to smell good?
Oh, well, hey, finally, what I'm actually here to talk about, not just football. You know, I'm working with Old Spice. I think the message is it's great this year. It's really – it's talking about like your self-confidence, and you know, last year is really tough for everybody. You know, instead of going to work, you're waking up, you're getting on Zoom calls, you're just kind of hanging out, and it's kind of hard to get into a routine. It was a lot different for, you know, everybody in the world. And you know, it's really easy to be your own harshest critic, you know, when you're sitting at home every day, you know, looking at a laptop screen, Zooming with people. And I think Old Spice, all they want to do is they're just trying to give guys confidence in, you know, everything that they do. So, you know, if you start the day and you smell great, you have confidence in other things that you do. You know, it's smell good, feel good, play good. You smell ready for anything. And I love the message because it's just talking about, you know, some self-confidence before, you know, going into anything that you do. So it's really fun to be able to work with someone like that.
I love it. I love the message. Full disclosure,
no,
I spray perfume
stink,
every
guys.
Day, even if no one sees me, right?
I got some
and
for
yeah,
you guys.
Listen,
you
our
me.
Self-esteem, good. Self-esteem can get low during a pandemic. I'm going to burn all my yoga pants and sweatpants after this thing's over. Only wear heels and dresses. So sick of looking like a slob. All right. One more thing I want to ask you. I know you're a huge wrestling fan. Why is Stone Cold Steve Austin one of your favorites?
Stone Cold? I mean, he's the man. I think, honestly, my favorite attribute about, oh, you got to be kidding me right now. I think his best attribute. He might have the best hands in wrestling from all those beers that he could catch. So I gotta get on the jugs machine with you, my guy. Are you kidding me right now?
Oh yeah!
What's up, man?
How you doing, man? Hey, you know what? When I was playing football in college, you know, I was a running back and they moved me to linebacker because they said I was too slow. And then at the next level at North Texas State, they moved me to weak side defensive end. And I always felt that I should have been a damn tight end because I got some hands on me. I can catch anything. And I think I catch beers better than a football. But nonetheless, man, I'm not at your level, but damn close.
I think, yeah, we could practice together if you want, man. I can have someone throw some beers at us, and I'll be happy to drink some with you as well because, yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorite parts. Can you teach me how to drive a beer truck, too? That looks pretty fun.
You know, one of my great talents was being able to drive anything on wheels, and now, as we proved with this season of Straight Up Steve Austin, anything on water. And I didn't even have that stick of self-confidence as you speak so highly of, so send me a stick of that, and I think I'll be ready to go, but... Yeah, man, anytime you want to drink some beer, I'm ready for you.
I can't believe I get it. This is the first time I really got to talk to you, so this is awesome for me. You just made my whole day incredible. I really appreciate
you, know what's so cool
you coming
for me?
Listen, George and Steve, George, you just made my day just seeing you smile and that we actually pulled off this surprise and it all worked with all the technology. So this really was a lot of fun for us here on First Take. So, George, you are dismissed. Stone Cold, we need you to stick around, and I want to share a clip from your show.
You have elected to take the first shot.
I can pick any one of those targets.
Absolutely you can.
All right, we're going to give it a try. My old shoulder. I'm going to start throwing some excuses out there.
All right, here we go. Contest underway.
I'm going to go for midsection.
I like this man calling the shot. Ain't no flukes here. God dang, what a shot. Hell yeah. Tony, you gonna make some noise.
I thought you were joking.
No. Oh, man.
You're about an inch off. I'm going to go a little lower.
I'm getting killed over here. Oh, man. God dang it. I think you done set me up. You're like an old pool shark.
Now, that looks like a lot of fun. Talk about Brett relief Favre. Stress, getting some nature, bow shooting with Brett Favre. Steve, it doesn't get much better than that. Thank you for being with us. You're the second season of your show on the USA Network. Talk to me about that. What was it like bow shooting with Favre?
Well, we were down there in Mississippi. We might as well have been at Lambeau Field. I felt like he had home field advantage on me. He kind of took me to school, but you got to watch the episode on TV to see how it plays out. Hey, man, you know, USA Network approached me with this show a couple of years ago. We shot a pilot. We're on season two. And if you'd have told me, you know, back when I started my career in professional wrestling, that, hey, man, one of these days you're going to be having a talk show on the USA Network, talking to some of the coolest people that are out there today, I'd have said you were full of bull. So just a lot of fun going down there and hanging out with Brett Favre, one of the greatest to ever do it, the gunslinger. It was just a hell of a day, and I was wondering what kind of guy Brett would be. And, you know, we got a little bit of a window to shoot this thing because of COVID, and I was so thankful to be able to work in 2020. And as soon as I introduced myself to him and I said, hey, you know, Brett, I've been watching your whole career, we hit it off just like that and just had an absolute blast.
Steve Austin, honored to have you on the show, my man. I'm a huge fan. Thank you for being here. I've got to ask you your thoughts about where wrestling is today. And I'm asking the question, it's sort of loaded. I grew up loving the WWF, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, everybody, to the NWA, if you remember. The Road Warriors was my favorite tag team. Magnum TA, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and the crew. That was my favorite time watching wrestling, and obviously when you guys were doing what you've been doing as well. How are you feeling about the state of wrestling today with the WWE? I still think it's fantastic. Please don't get me wrong. But there's a slight difference between now and what it was back in the 80s, the 90s, and obviously at the turn of the century. Your thoughts, sir?
I always love your opinion on things. And, you know, you're spot on. And, you know, today is a different era. You know, so it's a more athletic product. And the guys and gals are better athletes than we were. But, you know, going back to the names you just mentioned were the exact same names that I grew up on. Big NWA fan, Mid-South Power Pro from Bill Watts, where I broke in, World Class Championship Wrestling. And then into the Attitude Era at my peak, I just think the business was a lot more protected back then. And you didn't have to be – man, I tell you, we really pushed the envelope as far as creatively, as far as the Attitude Era goes. But it was just a grittier – product, and that's kind of what I thrive on. Yeah. But all respect to the men and women of WWE and everywhere right now for working through this pandemic and working without crowds, because, you know, when you watch, you know, the football games being played and no crowd or, you know, 25% capacity,
right,
those crowds affect your performance, and especially in the ring, you know, in professional wrestling, because that's how you get your feedback as far as your decision-making process. So I miss the crowds, and, you know, it is a different product, Steven. You're spot on, all the guys you mentioned were my heroes.
Yeah. When will there ever be a tag team event as good as King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd against Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan? Those were the days. Steve, I saw you shooting those bow and arrows at Bigfoot. Didn't you want to hit him with a stunner? Why are you cheating at that distance with a bow and arrow? I wanted to see a stunner.
Man, you should have seen how big that Bigfoot was. And I never believe in Sasquatch, because anytime you see him in a picture, he's blurry. But it was a fun day hanging out with Brett. And hell, by the footage that you're seeing right now, I wasn't that effective with the bow. And again, I think you had a little bit of home field advantage on me.
It looked like a lot of fun. Steve, can we talk about the Super Bowl? Go ahead, Max.
Go ahead, Marlon. No. I just quickly, Brett Favre had that thing about him. You saw it on the field. The team loved to play with him. He made people believe they could win. And since his career has ended, you hear him on TV and the radio, and his charisma's obvious. Hanging out with him, what is it? What do you feel hanging out with him?
that same thing, you know, and I asked him, I said, you know, like what it's like to be in a huddle with Brett Favre. And he's that guy that, you know, his teammates knew that he was out there battling for them. They all believed in him, and he was no more important than the other 10 guys on the field at the same time, you know, and then bringing the defense. So that was the approach that he took to the game. And man, I think what you see with Brett is exactly what you get, man. He's just a down home. He's very confident, but he's just a laid back guy. And I think he's enjoying his post football career and as much as anybody is. I think he's living a great life, and he had an amazing career that I love to watch.
Yeah, for sure. We had him on the show recently, and it was just a quick interaction, but he just seems like such a likable guy. It was a lot of fun. All right, let's talk Super Bowl. You played college football. You know your football. Who are you going with, the young gun, Patrick Mahomes, or the GOAT, Tom Brady? Where are you, Steve?
Well, it's going to be, a whole team effort. And, you know, if you're going to beat Tom Brady, you've got to put pressure on him. You've got to get your hands on him. You got to put him down. You got to make him nervous. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, what a career this guy's had since he's came into the league. And I just love what that guy's doing. I don't know if he can be stopped. When you talk about gunslingers, he's that next gunslinger. But the way he can throw the ball with the accuracy, that arm strength that he has, all those weapons, it's hard. It really is hard for me to pick. I'm going to go Chiefs just because I think Patrick Mahomes is that dynamic. But you've got to put Brady on the ground. And don't get me wrong, both teams have to play great football, but I'm going to go Kansas City.
How do you feel about Tom Brady saying that he can play he's past the age of 45? I look at him as great as and phenomenal as he is. I'm thinking about how physical the game is, Steve. I'm thinking about guys with your mentality looking at him as a stationary target and saying, excuse me, the next 2 years you're going to take these hits? I don't think so.
Man, it's exactly what you said. I mean, you better have one hell of an offensive line, and, you know, all of your running backs or whoever's, you know, designed to block for him, they've got to pick up their blocks because, man, those guys are so big, strong, and fast, these guys, and they protect the quarterback, to, you know, way more than they ever did. So if they can just keep him off the ground, well, then I believe him. But, again, you've got to keep people with their hands off of him because, you know, one bad hit, and I never want that to happen, but one bad hit could take that guy out of the game.
Steve, you've obviously watched football for a long time, and I talk a lot about Mahomes on this show, and Stephen A. will bring up Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But the three of those guys together, like in your experience watching football, have you ever seen a quarterback at this level with targets at that level?
Well, and especially a quarterback this young at this level so soon. I mean, who is coming to the league and dominated like Patrick Mahomes did from game one when he was behind what's his name there for a little bit in Kansas City? But, I mean, as soon as he got on the field, he just lights out. So, no, man, I mean, he's got all the weapons, he's got all the skills, and he's got all the confidence. And, you know, Andy Reid's got all the confidence in him to let him do, you know, anything and everything he wants. So, man, that's a hard combo to beat.
Yeah, for sure. Before we let you go, tell us, what can we expect in season two?
Hey, season two is just kind of it's a continuation of season one. And like I said, we got a window of opportunity between August and November to get this show in. And we've been off the air for like 16 months. So I was chomping at the bit to get going. My show is a talk show, and it's built around action, adrenaline, a driving feature, and an activity. And many times it turns into something competitive between myself and the guest. And that's an activity to bond over as I listen to their story about how they got so successful, things that they had to overcome. And I get a chance to hang out with some really cool people. And, hell, I hate to call it a job because I'm having so much fun at it. So I just hope we get season three. And I hope everybody enjoys, you know, what we're doing. And we got preempted this past week. Brett Favre, the gunslinger, is my next guest next Monday.
Let that personality shine,
all
my
right,
man.
You'll get Steve
season
Austin.
Three. You'll get season
Thank you,
three.
Guys.
No question. Okay. Straight Up Steve Austin on the USA Network, and I love the concept of the interview and the competition. Thank you so much for being with us. Stay safe.
Thank you,
guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care. I asked you guys earlier in the show about Tom Brady saying he'll definitely consider playing past the age of 45. Max, we asked everybody at home if they should take this seriously. 69% of our First Take fam said yes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you have to take it seriously. He's already shattered the longevity record and the age record, really. No one's ever played quarterback like this at 43. And so the odds may be against it still, because you could any next play could be your last play. But to say you're just going to dismiss it and not take it seriously based on what we've just seen, no, I have to take it seriously.
I don't. Why don't you let's see you get through next season first. You turn 44 on August 3rd. You're the reigning NFC champions and quite possibly a Super Bowl champion when all is said and done. If I'm listening to my man Charlie Mack, Tom Brady, the greatest story ever told, Super Bowl 55, MVP, and all of that stuff. Let's say for the sake of argument, something like that happens. You have any idea what kind of target he's going to be next year? I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that, again, going through another grueling 16-game season, getting hats put on you, you know, as you age, the punches hurt just a little bit more. The hits hurt just a little bit more. I mean, that would be two more seasons. Plus, I got to see
even
that.
You can't
to
breathe
it.
On the quarterback anymore.
I can't. That's a good point.
You're not
that's
even
a good
allowed
point.
To look at him sideways.
Without being penalized. But what if you're willing to take the penalty just to put a hat on him? You know,
well, that's
I'm just
story.
Saying.
There's risk.
You know? Yeah, it's a risk. Yeah, I don't know. Giselle might say, yo, well, you know, it's time for you to come on home now. All right, you had it. You got seven super. Come on home. You know, Giselle might be saying that, and we know she counts more than everybody.
Tom,
all
you
I
proved
know is
your
if
point.
If he wins
Come
Super
home.
Bowl 55, he could really end it on a high note. Usually the game retires you, and to be able to end winning a Super Bowl at that age, but we'll see what he does. Our HBCU tour starts Amazing. Tomorrow. Your alma mater, Stephen A. Can't wait. See you guys in the morning.